I should go in our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. It'll be on the screen for you. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, "This is the way. Walk in it." When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. Words of Jesus, John 10, 3 through 5. To him, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name. Aren't you glad God knows your name? And leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Romans 8, 14, the Apostle Paul declares, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God." I want to preach to you today on this subject, God still speaks. Amen. Jesus, in your name today, God, I thank you for your presence that's here. I thank you for your wonderful word, God, that is a gift to us. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful church. God, I pray that you would speak to us today. God, I pray that you'd give us direction. God, I pray that your spirit would draw us, Lord, to the place that you would have us to be. Lord, anoint me to speak your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. And while you're being seated, I want to say how wonderful it is for my wife to be here with me. I was starting churches down in Detroit, and a Baptist minister showed up one day for service, and he said, I introduced myself. He said, "I have heard about you starting churches, and I came here to see how you do it." I said, "Well, okay." And so after he got done watching everything going on, he came. He said, "I know your secret." I said, "Oh, well, tell me about it." He said, "If I'd have married her, I could start churches." So I appreciate my wife and our good friends, Brother Reaver, Sister Reaver. Amen. It's great to be here. Thank you for inviting us to celebrate the 70th birthday. Brother Johns has blown 70 out of the water. I just have to tell you. The new 40, I guess, is 70. I don't know. I can't wait to see what the next 30 years hold, Brother Johns. Amen. Praise God. What a world we live in, right? So much information. So many facts at our fingertips, and by fingertips, I mean here, right? We were driving the car yesterday, and somebody asked a question, and Brother Reaver said, "I don't know," said, "let me think about it." Of course, he got his phone out and called up Brother Google, you know. And so everybody's an expert on everything, right? And we just so many things. But I think we may know less now than we've ever known, right? And you can Google one thing. You can have two people in the same room Googling things, and they'll come up with something different. Artificial intelligence. Heavy on the artificial, right? I had a conversation the other day with Microsoft Copilot. I said, "Can you compare the assassinations of Martin Luther King Jr., John F. Kennedy, to the Charlie Kirk assassination, specifically in public polls that show acceptance or approval of these acts?" And Copilot said, "There has not been an assassination of Charlie Kirk. If you're referring to a fictional scenario, satire, or rumor, I can help clarify or read." Well, this was on September 21st. I said, "You're kidding me. You don't know about the assassination of Charlie Kirk on September 10th? It said, "Thank you for your patience. It is now confirmed that Charlie Kirk was assassinated on September 10th. Like, I had to tell ChatGPT that Charlie Kirk was dead, That doesn't fill me with confidence, right? And I think all of us want to know the truth. I think the reason you're here today is you're seeking truth. I think you're just like me. I want to know, am I on the right path? Is what I'm doing, the way I'm spending my time, the way I'm spending my money, the way I'm living my life, is this what God wants? And there's a conspiracy today to draw you away from the voice of the Creator. There are so many voices vying for our attention, and then we have religious leaders that, for whatever reason, I don't quite understand why they would engage in trying to cause us to doubt the Word of God. I know none of you scroll on Facebook or anything, on Reels, but if you do, you can find religious leaders teaching from every angle of every subject. Andy Stanley made the statement a couple years ago. He said, the Bible is not the foundation of our faith. And he obviously got a lot of pushback from that because he's supposed to be a Baptist believing in the inerrancy of the Scripture and the absolute authority of the Scripture. But he said, no, it's the person of Jesus Christ, the resurrection, which is true. If the resurrection did not happen, Paul said, our faith is vain. But to unground us from the Word of God to a relationship is to undermine the foundation of our faith. John Calvin said, God lisps to us. In other words, God talks baby talk to us. He accommodates our human lack of understanding. Now, for a theologian like John Calvin, that's short for, you're too immature to understand what God's saying, but I'm not. Listen to me. But the Bible says, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left, you're going to hear the voice of God. That doesn't sound like lisping to me. I'm here to declare to you today that God still speaks in this world today. I'm here to tell somebody that God wants you to know what He thinks about what you are doing and should do. I'm preaching to somebody today that you're looking for answers, and I'm here to tell you, you can find the truth. You may not be able to Google the truth. You may not be able to find it on True Social. You may not be able to find it from all of the different opinions, but God created us in His image. God loves us. He knows whenever a sparrow falls from the tree. He knows every hair that falls from our head. He knows your name. And God still speaks today. Praise God. God speaks through His Word. Don't let anybody undermine your faith in the Bible. I don't have time to go through all of the reasons why you should believe the Bible today, but I'm not talking to people. You wouldn't be here probably today if you didn't believe the Bible on some level. And I'm here to encourage that belief in the Word of God. There's no alternative to it. If the Bible is not the Word of God, then we're left without the Word of God. There's no credible alternative. There's no book that's even a close second. If the Bible is not true, it's not the word of God, then God left us on this earth with no word. I'm here to tell you, God would never do that. And God left us with his word. The Bible is the word of God. It's true. Don't you worry about what anybody says that is contrary to the word of God. You better believe the truth. You better buy the truth, the Bible says, and sell it not. Let the Bible be your guide for everything that you do. Let every man be a liar, but God be true. I'm so thankful that we've been given his word. But God speaks to us also through the Holy Spirit. The disciples, there were certain things. Jesus Christ was the word become flesh, the living word of God. And the disciples had been walking with Jesus, the living word of God. The religious leader said, never a man spake like this man. But yet, there were certain things that they could not understand. Jesus said, there's many things I would say to you, but you can't receive them now. He said, but when the Holy Spirit is come, he will lead you and guide you into all truth. He said, I'm with you now, but I will be in you. And Jesus was so insistent upon this point that when he ascended into heaven, he told him, he said, go and wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And so the disciples were banned to an upper room for about 10 days because they needed the Holy Ghost to do what God had called them to do. And when the day of Pentecost was come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and cloven tongues like as a fire set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. We are a Pentecostal church. We believe in the Pentecostal experience. And if you're here today and you have been filled with the Holy Ghost, let me tell you, the Holy Ghost is guiding and leading and speaking, and it is your guide into all truth. If you've not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's the first order of business for you today. Because you can't even read the word of God with true understanding without the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. And God can fill you with the Spirit today. Oh, I'm so thankful that the Spirit of God leads us and guides us. Of course, we hear God's voice through prayer. Prayer is not just speaking to God, but it's also listening to God. Oh, you can't say you're serious about hearing the voice of God unless you take time to speak to God and to pray. Prayer works. Prayer changes things. Oh, I'm so glad I'm in a room full of people today. I feel you listening. I feel you hungry for this message because that's what we're all here for. We love the LED screens and the lights and the excellence. That's not why we're here. If somebody hit a wrong note on the music, most of us non-musical people wouldn't hear it. But even if you're musical and you know every note, it really doesn't matter as long as you hear from God. That's what it's all about. I doubt there's many people in this room that if God was to write on this screen what you would do, what you were supposed to do, that you would reject it and say, no, I don't think I'll do that. I think most of us here would say, God, that may be hard. It may be difficult, but I know that's what you want. I see you writing it on the screen. I'll do it. Satan likes to keep us in confusion. Did God say? Is that really real? While we may not want to walk in rebellion, we're comfortable walking in confusion. you will hear a voice behind you saying, turn to the left. Walk here. This is the way. Walk in it. God is clear in his communication. You don't have to live in confusion. No, no, I'm talking to somebody today. You don't have to walk around saying, well, I don't know. God still speaks today. He's speaking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He speaks through circumstances. God can open or close doors, align events, or use life situations to guide us. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. God is directing our life. Every child of God, God is directing your life. One of the things that changed my life, Carla and I graduated from Bible college in May. We got married in September, and we were just looking for a place to minister. I was 21, 20. I was 20, she was 21. And just so happens there was a man in Ypsilanti, Michigan, Pastor William Nix. He was looking for a youth pastor. Now, Jackson, Mississippi is a long ways from Ypsilanti, Michigan, a suburb of Detroit, Michigan. It's a long ways in more ways than one. Just so happens he asked Brother Robbie Mitchell, I'm looking for a youth pastor. Do you have any recommendations? Number one on Brother Mitchell's list was Scott Sistrunk. Another minister came by, Terry Smith. Brother Nick said, Terry, I'm looking for a youth pastor. Anybody you recommend? Well, Terry Smith had just been in Jackson, Mississippi, preaching a revival. He said, there's a guy named Scott Sistrunk. And then Brother Daryl Johns went and preached the Michigan Youth Convention. And Brother Nick said, Brother Johns, I'm looking for a youth pastor. Well, you guess who he said? Scott Sistrunk. I guess Brother Nick's got the message. And things like that can change your whole life. Changed my whole life. Because God works. Oh, I don't know what happened to you this week, but you know what? You need to thank God for it. Come on, you need to thank God for it. Because he could be moving you into the position that he wants you to be in. God speaks. Praise God. God speaks to us through other people. Wise counsel, prophetic words, or encouragement from others. I'll never forget, I was 20. That's exactly how old I was. It was January. I was working at the Jitney Jungle. Now, that was a grocery store in Mississippi. Better than the Piggly Wiggly. It was. Except. And I worked there after Bible school, and it was Wednesday night. I got off late, and I drove from North Jackson, and I was going to church. Took my vest off, and I had, see that blank seat on the front? That was my seat at church, and they usually left it open for me. And so I came in about 7:40, and sat down there on the front row, and there was a preacher preaching. I think it was his first time to ever preach in Jackson, Mississippi. I'd never heard him preach, never seen him before. I think he may have came back one time. But he's preaching along, and he says, he looks over there at me, and he says, young man, stand up. He said, I've got a word from God for you. Now, you don't have to stand up. He told me to stand up. So I stand up in the middle of him preaching, and he said, God's going to grow you up fast. He said, and when he does, don't you worry about it. God knows exactly what he's doing. Well, I was 20. I was dating Carla, but we weren't engaged. I was a senior in Bible college. 5 years later, I was married. I had three kids. and I was on a 747 with all three of my kids, 3, 2, and 7 months, chasing a bassinet, headed to South Africa to pastor 3 churches. I say that's pretty fast. And that 747 took off. And I had a panic attack. I'm like, what am I doing? What am I thinking? I've got a one-way ticket to Africa. And I've got 3 kids. My budget was $400 a month. But that word came back to me. Don't you worry about it. God knows what he's doing. Man, I'm glad I went to church that night. I'm glad I was there for the man of God to speak a word, a prophecy. God still speaks. He speaks through creation. Oh. I love nature. And it speaks to me. We started a church in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And the spiritual warfare was intense. And every day I felt like Satan was trying to shut that church down. Every phone call, I would almost flinch because it was intense. We were having church in a church back in 1990s that had a gay pastor and had the rainbow flag up. We had to take the rainbow flag up, roll it up, put it under the seat. I just labored under that spiritual warfare for a very long time. I was on vacation, Ocean Isle Beach, North Carolina. I'm walking on the beach with my cup of coffee and watching the waves. Thankfully, a friend of ours gave us a free vacation. That's the only reason I was able to be there. And they had a condo, and the waves were crashing in, and it was eroding the end of that island. There were multi-million dollar houses on the end. And they had put hundreds of thousands of dollars of sandbags to try to keep the ocean from washing their homes away. And I'm marveling at the power of nature. And I'm thinking of Job, who said to the ocean, come here and no further. Thought came to me how futile the actions of man are against the power of God. The Lord spoke to me. He said, yes. He said, I set the oceans in motion, and no man can stop them. He said, but I also set that church in Ann Arbor in motion, and nobody will ever stop it. Stop worrying about it. It's not going to fail. It's not going to close because I started it. Oh, God speaks. God wants to speak to you today. God wants to set your course in your life. There's somebody here today. You're wrestling with a very serious decision about the future of your life. Or you have. I'm telling you, God wants to speak to you today. His voice. Let's go a little deeper. One thing to read the Bible, to pray. I assume most of you here do exactly all of these things that I just said. There's something about nonverbal communication. Something about how maybe Carl and I have been married for 38 years. We've developed some methods of communication. I can just about tell you what she's thinking right now. I can especially tell if she likes what I'm preaching or not. She's pretty happy right now. But anyway. Years we've nonverbal communications at our North American missions meetings. They've had this game, the whisper game. And you put earphones on and the other one whispers to you. Carl and I get it on the first try. Every time. Everybody's like, what? No, I know. Because we've been talking like that, church planters. I've been talking to her from the platform, just nonverbal communications for years, right? You know, parents speak to their children. You know, we know what our children want really before they ask. Why? Because we have raised them and impacted their decisions. Psalm 37, 4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Now, we know also that the heart is desperately wicked. So God's not going to give us those wicked desires. But as we draw close to him and we're influenced by him, he said, "Commit your works unto the Lord, and he will establish your plans." And so the closer we get to God, the more he shapes even our desires. Just as a loving parent gently molds a child's wants for their good, God lovingly reshapes our hearts when we commit ourselves to him. The more we delight in him, the more our want to changes. Our desires become holy, purposeful, and aligned with his kingdom. A husband and wife, we don't have to talk about everything in detail. I don't have to ask Carla if I should go buy a big F-250 heavy-duty King Ranch truck. I know she doesn't want me to buy a truck. We can't afford it. There's no need to have a conversation about it. I know that because I'm close to her. There's some things in your life that can be settled just by being close to Jesus. Doesn't need to be a big conversation about it. When a child is first born, that child can't say a word. Mom and dad talk to them like they can understand a word, but they really can't understand a word. But the baby looks up at mom and dad's face, and there's things going on. Pupils dilate. It's a sign that the sympathetic nervous system is pleasurably aroused, and the baby's pupils dilate, and their heart beats faster. Little babies, they start moving. They're stimulated just by looking in the face of their parent, a natural feel-good chemical. Neuropeptide is released in the prefrontal cortex, and their emotional state is changed. Another chemical, dopamine, is released in the brainstem. And this chemical helps brain cells take up energy in the form of glucose and helps new tissue to grow. It's healthy for them. And mom and dad registers the baby's positive response. They keep smiling and engaging the baby. And everybody feels better. I'm a grandfather. Instant stress relief. Instant stress relief. No words have to be spoken. The psalmist said, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me." Isn't that our prayer? Be gracious to me. Answer me. You have said, "Seek my face." My heart says to you, "Your face, Lord, I do seek. Hide not your face from me." 1 Chronicles 16:11, "Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always." Psalm 105:4, "Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore." There is a place we can get deeper with the Lord where we seek his face. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean that we quit our jobs and come to the prayer room and stay here and bring our lunch every day. But it means we're in a constant state of communication with God. Oh, look full, the song says, into his wonderful face. And the things of this world grow strangely dim. God wants us to draw so close to him. There's sometimes you don't have time to fast 3 days and pray 6 hours about a situation. You have to make a situation right now. You have to make a decision right now about that situation. I was pastoring 2 churches, running back and forth between Clinton, Michigan, Ann Arbor, and we had started a 3rd daughter work, and I was still doing some things for Brother Nick's at the mother church, and I was just, it was, things were just coming at me. And I was like, Lord, I don't feel like I'm praying enough about everything. I've got all these new converts, and you know, all of them have big things. I've got to decide about whether to buy a building here or buy property here, and I'm trying to manage all the finances, and I've got my own wife and kids that I have to make sure I'm not neglecting my wife and kids, and it's like the Lord said, hey, just seek my face. My wife and I can make decisions. I just have to look at her, and I can see in her face. My kids, I could correct them across the room with my face. Why would God tell us to seek his face? We can hear his voice through his face. Sometimes we are educated above our obedience. Just because you know your wife doesn't want you to buy a F-250 King Ranch doesn't mean you like it all the time, right? And sometimes people don't seek God's face because they don't want to know what God thinks. God wants you to know his will. He wants you to know. You will hear a voice behind you saying, this is my way. Walk ye in it. Prayer is too often viewed as talking to an invisible God. The idea of seeing his face is thought of as impossible. But we humble ourselves. 2 Chronicles says, humble ourselves. 7:14, and seek, if my people call by my name, will humble themselves and seek my face. Notice the emphasis is on you seeking God's face. You have to desire it. I just want you to, I'm digging right now. I want you to ask yourself the question, do I really want to know what God thinks? Or am I just saying I want to know what God thinks? It's a lot easier to live in confusion than it is in rebellion. And most people who would come to church on a Sunday like this, get dressed up, you wouldn't be living in rebellion. But you live in confusion. It's a lot easier to go buy the truck and then say, oh, you didn't want me to buy it. I thought you would be happy. If you really want to do something, it's what they say, it's better to get permission or forgiveness than permission. You won't know God's face like that because you have to seek his face. How do we seek the face of God? James 4:8 says, as we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. God wants to be sought out. God wants to be sought out. But he's eager to reveal himself to those who love him. We cultivate and honor this relationship. Seeking the face of God becomes easier and easier. Musicians can come. God's talking to somebody right now. God's talking to somebody right now. Church, if we're going to fill that building up, if we're going to see God do the great things that he wants to do in our lives, we have to hear his voice. I'm here today to deliver the word of God. I'm preaching a sermon that I prepared, that I believe that God gave me. I'm preaching it here, but you have to hear it. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. We've got to listen. God is speaking. God is speaking about your future. God is speaking about the job that you need to take. God is speaking about the job you need to quit. God is speaking about the people you need to hang around. God is speaking about the people you need to quit hanging around. God is speaking about the dedications that you need to make. God is speaking. Are we listening? Are we seeking his face? No marriage would survive very long if our criteria for remaining married our guide for action would be, if I do this, are you going to divorce me? Well, if you're not going to divorce me, I'll go ahead and do it. Right. Too many times people live, well, will I go to heaven or will I go to hell? Is this action, is this going to damn my soul or not? And if it, that's not what seeking God's face is. Seeking God's face is seeking not only, it's not being legalistic with his word. It's not trying to parse things. It's saying, are you really pleased? Are you really pleased? When a parent corrects their child, the child seeing that parent's face is so important. Corporal punishment or grounding or whatever you choose to do and discipline a child, it has to be done with love. And that love comes through the face, through the relationship. Some people have a relationship with God. They read the word and the word says, don't do this, thou shalt not. And you never see the love in those shall, thou shalt nots, because you're not looking into his face. God wants you to love him. I had to learn this. I'm a Deep South raised, Mississippi raised, fifth generation apostolic. I know what it means to go to church. You know, in the South, we have a culture of going to church, right? It's just what you do. And I guess I was that way. I know I was that way because my mom and dad made me be that way, right? I was going to church. That was the way it was, you know. And but somewhere along the way, I had to look into his face. It wasn't enough for my mom and dad to tell me how good God was. And oh, I heard all the preachers tell how good he was. And I had to find out for myself. I remember seeking God's face. Sister Nona Freeman, a missionary to Africa, I remember her coming by and preaching a sermon called My Friend. And she talked about her relationship with God. She said she was, many stories I could tell. One particular one, she says, she'd been traveling and Brother Freeman had bought her a sewing machine, and she wound up giving her sewing machine away. And so she needed to do some sewing, and she needed a sewing machine, but she was afraid to ask Brother Freeman to buy her another sewing machine because she had given the other one away. So she said, "I was talking to my friend." She called God her friend. And he said, "Hey, there's something you need, but you haven't asked me for it yet." She said, "Well, God, I need a sewing machine." He said, "Okay." So she said she walked into the kitchen. After Brother Freeman got up, he was reading the paper. He said, "Say, here's a good buy on a sewing machine. We should go pick one up." I'm like, I like that. I like that. Said she was sitting at her kitchen. She was in her washing dishes, looking out her kitchen window, and the Lord spoke to her and said, "Go out on the front porch and start waving." She said, "What?" He said, "Go out on the front porch and start waving." She dried her hands off. She stepped out on the front porch. She started waving. She said, "I felt really silly." She said, "But here came a car coming down the road." She said, "I really got inspired then. I really started waving, waving." She said, "That car passed. I waved. That car was out of sight." She said, went back in. She said, "I'll probably never know what that was about." But she said about 4 or 5 years later, she was preaching in a church, and a man came up to her and said, "Sister Freeman, you don't know me, but you all used to live and call the name of the city where they used to live." He said, "I was so low in my life." He said, "I was headed to the gravel pit with a shotgun on the seat of my front seat of my car, and I was going to kill myself." He said, "I came by your house." He said, "You were out there on the porch waving." He said, "You waved while I was out of sight." And he said, "I thought, well, if there's somebody that thinks that much of me, maybe there's a little hope." He said, "Here I am today." Don't you want to seek his face? Don't you want to hear his voice? Let's stand today. There's healing in the looking into his face. Look on me and live. He cannot hide his love for you when you look at him. His love overflows into his expressions. Feelings of unworthiness and shame are washed away when you look into his loving eyes. Misconceptions, faulty thinking are realigned in the power of his face.
Understand the reason I have led you in the path that you have walked in. You understand now why I have talked to you in areas that you did not understand. I was leading you. I have guided you these many times. I have kept you safe when you were in danger by the mention of my name when you called upon me. But you have not listened carefully to where I would have you to go, what I would have you to do, and my spirit that I have given you to lead you and to guide you into the areas you have disallowed so many times. You have heard my voice today, sent to you by this my servant, to explain to you the reasons, and now you understand. Seek me. Did I not create your ear? Did I not make you to listen? Know and understand that I am leading you and guiding you, but you must seek my face. For it is you that I am after. Not what you have or what you've done, but what you are in me. I seek you, a relationship with you that only you and I can have, no other. So come today.
Come today.
I have sent this message for you.
Come
today. Open your heart. Seek my face. I will hear. I will answer.
Yes.
And you will understand.
Yes.
And yes, this is the way.
Oh, God, you're so good to us. You're so good to us.